It is Thursday, May 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe contradicts the White House position that former FBI Director James Comey had lost the support of FBI agents. We look at tensions between the U.S. and Russia over Syria. And singer Katy Perry releases a new single called Bon Appetit. It's all ahead. Members of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee heard from high-ranking officials of the U.S. intelligence community today at a hearing. The meeting follows the recent firing of FBI Director James Comey by President Donald Trump. Democratic Senator Mark Warner questioned Andrew McCabe, the acting director of the FBI.
Mr. McCabe, for as long as you are acting FBI director, do you commit to informing this committee of any effort to interfere with the FBI's ongoing investigation into links between Russia and the Trump campaign?
I absolutely do.
Thank you so much for that. I think in light of what's happened in the last 48 hours, it's critically important that we have that assurance, and I hope you'll relay, at least from me, to the extraordinary people who work at the FBI, that this committee supports them, supports their efforts, supports their professionalism, and supports their independence.
I will, sir. Thank you.
I spoke with Masood Farivar, VOA's justice correspondent, about today's hearing.
Well, first of all, today's hearing was actually an annual briefing by the nation's top four intelligence officials on the world security threat. But as you pointed out, it was kind of overshadowed by the dismissal of the former FBI Director James Comey. And a lot of senators, especially Democrats, asked the acting director, Andrew McCabe, about the fallout from that dismissal and the status of investigations. One of the things that he pointed out was to reassure the senators and members of the Senate Intelligence Committee that the FBI investigation is on track. He is, Andrew McCabe, the acting director, is leading that effort. And he reassured that that has not been impacted by the dismissal of the former FBI director.
Now, one of the things, though, he apparently contradicted the White House assertion that James Comey, FBI director who was fired by President Trump, he had lost the support of rank-and-file FBI agents. McCabe said he hadn't.
Yes, that's true. Reports that out of the White House have been kind of conflicting about the reason behind the firing of James Comey. Officially, the White House has said that the president and the rank and file of the FBI had lost faith in the former director. But that was contradicted. Look, James Comey was not popular with either Democrats and Republicans. And the reason was that last year, when he decided to close the investigation into the use of email, a private email server by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Democrats, the Republicans actually criticized that. President Trump, then candidate Trump, criticized that effort to close the investigation without bringing charges. And later in the year, when he briefly reopened the investigation, the Democrats were not happy with him. But the news shook up the FBI establishment. We know we have received reports that it came as a huge surprise. But the work of the investigation actually goes on. The investigation by the FBI is carried out not by political appointees, but by FBI agents, investigators, and analysts. And the people that I've talked to in law enforcement in the last couple of days tell me that Those folks on the ground who actually do the grunt work will remain focused.
Well, I guess there was concerns about the timing of this because there have been reports that Comey wanted more funds to expand the investigation into possible Russian links with the Trump campaign in 2016.
That's true. The question is not whether the president has the authority to fire the FBI director. He does. The FBI director serves at his pleasure. The question was whether, raised by Democrats, was whether this was an attempt to block the investigation. And it came at a time that the FBI appeared to be stepping up its investigation, reportedly asking for more resources, and also issuing subpoenas to associates of former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. But the White House rejects these statements and have said that it was based on the recommendation of the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who's leading the DOJ's effort into the FBI into the Russia investigation. So the timing raised a lot of questions and. Democrats say that it was tied to the Russia investigation. The White House used the memo issued by the Deputy Attorney General criticizing the former director's handling of the Clinton email server investigation and how he actually usurped, that's their word, the Attorney General's authority by going public and saying that there will be no charges brought against the former Secretary of State. And that is not the job of the FBI director. That is something that's typically decided by the Justice Department.
That's Masoud Farivar, VOA's justice correspondent. Joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky, and I'm sure this story, among others, gets a lot of reaction on social media.
Absolutely. Lots of talk about this story, particularly when acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe denied the White House, saying that Comey had lost the confidence of the Bureau, saying that the Russia probe is highly significant, and then saying that he will not update the White House on Russia, each of those getting a lot of attention. And then you have people, of course, offering their opinions, because what would social media be without people putting in their two cents? So everything from the administration's lies are unraveling to the questions about why this obsession with Russia. And then one person even saying that the acting FBI director is contradicting the White House. He'll be the next one to be fired. So they're already thinking that the president will get rid of this acting director, Andrew McCabe. But other than the commentary that we're seeing a lot of people being able to watch this hearing in real time on social media through the live streaming. A lot of news organizations are streaming it live through Twitter, through Facebook. So it's giving people a new way, not just to read about this and talk about it, but to actually watch it happen in real time. So it's brought a lot more people around the world into the discussion. It's given a lot of people access that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise. And it's spurring a lot of questions about why certain things are being probed and why others aren't. The Comey issue continues to be, not just with this testimony, a big issue on social media, particularly today because James Comey issued a letter to the FBI, his kind of goodbye letter to the staff there. And one line in particular getting a lot of attention, he says, "I have long believed that a president can fire an FBI director for any reason or for no reason at all. I'm not going to spend time on the decision or the way it was executed. I hope you won't either." So Comey seems to be trying to move past it. He's not going to dwell on it, despite the fact that there's still a lot of questions being raised on social media as to why he was fired.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of questions remain. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. The U.S. alerted France of possible Russian cyber attacks during France's recent presidential election. The UN condemns a social media ban in Jammu and Kashmir state. The U.S. intel chief says the situation in Afghanistan will almost certainly deteriorate, and the U.S. reaffirms its commitment to protect Turkey. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers used a rare lunar alignment to see waves of lava flowing within the largest and most active volcanic site on Jupiter's moon Io, which also happens to be the most volcanically active body in the entire solar system. On March 8, 2015, ice-covered Europa, another of the giant planet's moons, passed directly in front of Io, blocking out its light. This allowed the astronomers to accurately observe heat produced by Io's volcanoes within infrared wavelengths. Observational data showed a steady increase of surface temperatures on the huge lake of molten lava that gathers within the crater. The researchers say this suggests the lava had overturned within the lake in two waves, traveling west to east at about a kilometer per day. One of the more popular explanations for this area on Io to brighten and dim is that it's being caused by overturning lava. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we'll hear Katy Perry's latest single. Amid tensions that Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov Wednesday acknowledged he has driven ties to a very low level, Russia's top diplomat held talks with President Donald Trump at the White House. But later at a news conference at the Russian embassy, Mr. Lavrov suggested those relations may have turned a new page, describing his talks with Mr. Trump and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson as free of ideology that he said was characteristic of the Obama administration. He described the president and Tillerson as people of action. They want to come to agreement, he said, to solve concrete issues. Mr. Trump said he felt good about the talks producing positive results to end the Syrian conflict.
And I think that we're going to do very well with respect to Syria. I think things are happening that are really, really, really positive. We're going to stop the killing and the death. We had a very, very good meeting with Mr. Lavrov, and it was, I thought it was very, very good. What we want to do is we want to see the killing, the horrible killing in Syria stop as soon as possible, and everybody's working toward that end.
While Mr. Trump expressed hope for broader cooperation with Moscow on resolving global conflicts, he called on Russia to rein in the Bashar al-Assad regime, as well as with Iran and its proxies. VOA's Victor Beatty asked University of Denver International Affairs Professor Jonathan Edelman whether U.S.-Russian cooperation can halt the Syrian conflict.
There is some slight hope that it could be. The Russians have achieved what they wanted to, which was they got their warm water port, they managed to keep Bashar Assad in power, and they've now been seen as, again, a quasi-superpower, certainly in the Middle East. But they're not going to go much further. They can only go so far. And so if you look at what their strategy has been ever since 2008, it's been to get little chunks back, to whether it's Abkhazia or it's southern Ossetia or it's Crimea or it's part of Ukraine. And that's what I think they would settle for here, even though they're reluctant to, which is if they can keep Damascus, if they can keep some of that broad area around it and perhaps Aleppo, I think they'd be willing at the end of the day to trade, because that would still be seen as a great victory, especially if they can control the most important cities in Syria.
Mr. Trump said that he called on Mr. Lavrov and Russia to rein in the Assad regime, Iran, and Iran's proxies. Is that possible?
It might be possible to rein in Syria because the Russians have a powerful role to play. But Iran, you've hit a very important point, which is the Russians are going to have to make several decisions now. One is, are they going to take a realistic American offer to work on ending the terror that's killed over 400,000 Syrians? Or are they going to stay together, especially with Iran, which is very hostile to the United States? But I believe there's some hope here, because clearly there is a deadlock. And clearly we're seeing some progress, and it's mostly recently now been with the Kurds and Raqqa and taking the capital of ISIS. If we can defeat ISIS, that will be a great achievement for the United States. But at some point, this war has got to end. I think we're coming towards that point, but it could be another year or two before the battlefield really reflects that.
That's Jonathan Edelman of the University of Denver. The U.S. Defense Department Wednesday announced that the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces seized the strategic town of Tabqa from Islamic State defenders, along with Syria's largest dam. Tabqa is just 40 kilometers west of Raqqa, the de facto IS capital. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. A popular singer has a new single out, and Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with all the details.
Today, Sarah, we are focusing in on a music icon whose name is Katy Perry. Katy Perry's fifth album will be coming out within this year, hopefully very, very soon. She did a little story with Entertainment Weekly, and she said the album marks a definite change with her usual sound. She said this new album is going to be fun and dancey and dark and light. She said it's all of these things all together. Now, Katy, speaking of new things, has a brand new look. If you've seen Katy Perry recently, she cut her hair very, very short and dyed it blonde. So she's kind of going through all kinds of changes. She says this year is a year of experimentation. And she had a couple of songs out already off the new album, the most recent of which is called Chain to the Rhythm, which kind of, when I listen to it, I think of the Miami Sound Machine. But she's got a brand new song that she's just recorded with a very popular R&B hip-hop trio known as Migos. And we're going to check the new song out right now. Here's Bon Appetit.
'Cause I'm all that you want, boy. All that you can have, boy. Got me spread.
Bon Appetit. That's an interesting, instead of Bon Appetit.
That's right. Well, bon, however you want to say it. But, you know, she's got this new song out. This is the third song to come out off of her upcoming album, which will be album number 5. We know Katy Perry from her many hits, most recent of which was the 2013 Prism album. You may recall also a few years ago, she was the halftime performer at the Super Bowl and still holds the record for the most viewers for a Super Bowl halftime performance, just edging out Lady Gaga, who was on the stage in February. Katy's in a brand new TV commercial for the folks at City. I guess it's a new campaign for something she's doing with her dog. She's got her own pet dog in the commercial. His name is Nugget, and it's for City Double Cash Spots. And she's also working on some new music on Calvin Harris's album. Calvin announced he's putting out a new album at the end of June called Funk Wave Bounces Volume 1.
Interesting title.
Interesting title. Now, there's a connection there because you may or may not know, you know, Calvin dated Taylor Swift for a while, and they were together for about a year. That broke up. It was kind of ugly when it broke up and ended in the media. And Katy Perry is the subject of a song that Taylor recorded in, well, I don't know the year, but it was a few years ago, called Bad Blood. And that song was inspired by the fact that Katy hired Taylor Swift's backup dancers to join Katy on tour. And Taylor, who's very loyal to her crew, did not like that change. She didn't like that Katy came after her crew, hired them away. So she wrote a song, Bad Blood. Now there's talk that both Calvin and Katy Perry are working together on a song that has something to do with Taylor Swift in response to Bad Blood. Katy denies it. we'll have to wait and see June 30th when Calvin's album comes out.
Absolutely. There might be even more bad blood.
There might be more bad blood.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. You want what I'm cooking? Boy, let me take you under candlelight. We can wine and dine, a table for two. And it's okay if you take your time, eat with your hands fine. I'm on the menu. And that's the music of singer Katy Perry. The song is titled Bon Appetit. Well, a business research group says housing foreclosure activity here in the United States dropped to the lowest level since 2005 last month. Adam Data Solutions tracks default notices, auctions, and bank repossessions across the nation and says the number of actions dropped 23% from a year ago. That means more than 77,000 homeowners missed payments and banks took some kind of action to try to get their loans repaid. Severe problems in the U.S. housing market and sales of securities backed by sometimes faulty mortgages played a key role in the financial crisis, which is one reason that investors and economists watch the housing market closely. Seattle, Washington was the city that did the best in this study, with the number of foreclosure notices dropping 38% from the same time a year ago. Atlantic City, New Jersey had the worst foreclosure problem in this study, with one out of every 237 housing units getting a notice of some kind. Well, that's our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Vice President Mike Pence recently marked the 69th anniversary of Israel's independence. On the fifth day in the month of Iyar in the Hebrew calendar in 1948, he noted, the State of Israel was reborn. Since the moment of their independence, said Vice President Pence, the Israeli people have awed the world with their strength of will and their strength of character. They've turned the desert into a garden, scarcity into plenty. And people of Israel have turned hope into a future of security and prosperity. And under President Donald Trump, said Mr. Pence, the world will know this. America stands with Israel because her cause is our cause, her values are our values, and her fight is our fight. President Trump has committed to resolving the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. And while there will undoubtedly have to be compromises, said Vice President Pence, you can rest assured President Donald Trump will never compromise the safety and security of the Jewish state of Israel. Not now, not ever. President Trump is determined to keep his promise to defeat the terrorist threat. ISIS is on the run, said Mr. Pence, and we will hunt down and destroy ISIS and terrorist organizations at their source so they no longer threaten the United States or its allies. The United States has put Iran on notice. America will no longer tolerate Iran's efforts to destabilize the region and jeopardize Israel's security. Under President Donald Trump, the United States of America will not allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon, said Vice President Pence. It was faith that led the Jewish people to return to their ancient homeland, said Mr. Pence. It was hope that spurred them to strive with all their strength for a brighter future. Israel is an eternal testament to the undying fortitude of the Jewish people, said Vice President Pence, to the unfathomable power of human freedom, and to the unending faithfulness of God.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.